This is Dale Thronberry from Veterans Radio with an important announcement for you, our loyal listeners. In partnership with U.S. Wings, we are bringing back our monthly flight jacket giveaway. Beginning right now, you can win a Top Gun Maverick flight jacket. This is U.S. Wings' recreation of the exact CWU jacket worn in the upcoming Top Gun 2 Maverick movie. It is made from military-grade satin nylon. The patches on the jacket are authentic military patches supplied to Paramount Pictures for the Top Gun movie. This jacket could be yours. All you have to do is register to win. Go to veteransradio.net, click on the flight jacket, and register to be in the drawing to win this month's Top Gun flight jacket. The winner will be announced on our monthly benefits program, which is the last program of each month. Don't miss out on your chance to win this incredible U.S. Wings Top Gun flight jacket. Go to veteransradio.net and register now.
All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Jim Fossone.
Welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone. I'm the officer of the deck today. We've got some great programs for you. I think you'll find very interesting. We always want to remind you, you can find more about Veterans Radio at its Facebook site or by going to veteransradio.net, where we're on the web 24/7. You can find a lot of our podcasts there as well. We post new ones every Tuesday. So, and before we get started, we want to thank our sponsors. First up, we want to thank National Veteran Business Development Council, NVBDC.org. It was established to certify both service-disabled and veteran-owned businesses. You'll find out how they can help your business by going to NVBDC.org. We also want to thank Eisenhower Center. It's a brain injury recovery center. Learn more about EisenhowerCenter.com. They're located in Michigan and in Florida. We want to thank Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans fights for veterans' disability rights all across the nation. You can reach them at 800-693-4800 or on the web at LegalHelpForVeterans.com. We want to thank VetBiz Central, which is part of the U.S. Small Business Association, VBOC, Vet Business Outreach Centers. VetBiz Central covers Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio, and can be reached at VetBizCentral.org. We're going to start today with some of the things that have been in the news that sort of intersect with things that veterans should be thinking about and concerned about. So we wanted to bring a couple of things back to the attention of our veteran radio listeners all across the United States. As we all know, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and we're all doing what we can to minimize the spread of the COVID-19 virus. And many people have already gotten out and gotten their COVID-19 vaccination shots. They've been hard to come by, but as each week passes, it seems it gets a little better in how the vaccine's getting distributed by the federal government down to the states, and the states down to the counties, and the counties down to the guys who are actually poking you in the arm with it. I know in many communities, the National Guard is involved in managing some of these big vaccination sites, and that's a great thing. It reminds people that our military service often is engaged in what I'll call humanitarian missions, and certainly this is a humanitarian mission here at home. So I think that's a great thing that they're involved in and being seen for. But one of the things that's recently in the news is VA has finally gotten congressional authorization to move further into giving vaccines out, not only to those who are enrolled in VA healthcare and eligible for receiving VA healthcare, And that's a small segment of the veteran population, as many of you know. But it's always been frustrating to veterans that those who aren't eligible for health care, they may be enrolled, but because of income or disability levels, they're not, they don't receive their health care from the VA. That this, in this pandemic, the VA ought to be sticking every veteran they can find with a needle to give them the vaccine. And Congress has finally authorized that. So this is a big deal. And I wanted to spread the word. So VA has now been authorized to give vaccines not only to all veterans, but also spouses and surviving spouses of veterans and caregivers of veterans. So this is a big expansion in the mission. And now, obviously, it's, you know, that expansion is somewhat limited based on the vaccine serums that are made available to the VA in any given state or location. So this is as a result of, as I said, this congressional expansion. So we encourage you here at Veterans Radio to, A, get your COVID-19 vaccine, and realize that the rules have changed at the VA, and while you may not have been eligible to get that vaccine from the VA a month ago or 2 months ago when you inquired, today, with that expansion, they're able to offer the vaccines to all veterans, whether or not you get your care at VA, spouses and surviving spouses of veterans, and caregivers of veterans. Now, caregivers defined by VA, naturally there's a bunch of additional rules here, but you ought to check it out. I'd encourage you to go to www.va.gov/health-care/COVID-19-vaccine/stay-informed. That's a whole lot. Just go to va.gov, and it should be prominently displayed, and you can get some more information. And obviously, if you have a local VA medical center, clinic that you go to, you ought to talk to them and see how you might be now eligible to get on a list and get going with getting your vaccine. So it's really an important expansion. It took a little longer than it should. I don't know, you know, that's Congress for you. It took a little longer than it should have for you to be able to get all veterans, their spouses and their caregivers, vaccinated by the VA. One story that caught my eye this week, and that's why I'm talking about COVID and the vaccine and issues related for veterans, was you might have read or heard that the founder and CEO of Louisville-based Texas Roadhouse took his own life last week. Kent Taylor was his name. It was an interesting story of a lot of trial and errors to get into the restaurant business that failed before he hit the right formula and Texas Roadhouse became a national chain. And unfortunately, Mr. Taylor took his own life as a result, it's reported in the papers, of severe tinnitus. He had severe tinnitus, and we've talked about that here on Veterans Radio, how that that ringing in your ears, the train, the water, whatever, everybody describes it a little bit differently, can really have a negative impact on quality of life. And I got curious as to how Mr. Taylor... you know, how his tinnitus got triggered. I was wondering if he was a veteran. As we know, many veterans develop tinnitus. Maybe it's because of, you know, munitions firing, or maybe it's because of airplane engine noises or noises in the engine room and ships. You know, this isn't a well-understood science, but it, he actually had it as a side effect of having COVID. So he got COVID, and one of the side effects was he got tinnitus, and he had it so bad he really couldn't cope with it, and it resulted in, unfortunately, Mr. Taylor committing suicide. So it's really important for us to realize the severity that tinnitus can have for veterans, to realize it's not in their heads. And in fact, the Mayo Clinic reports that the COVID disease for 15 to 20% of the people, it can cause tinnitus as a side effect for some period of time. You know, as you know, it's, you know, sometimes it's called a buzzing or a roaring or a clicking or a hissing or a humming. The pitch can be different for everybody. It's a very challenging situation for those who have it, and many veterans, as they say, unfortunately do. There are studies out there that by the International Tinnitus Journal that found 33% of the people with tinnitus experience major depression, and 45% experience anxiety. So if you know a veteran, or if you know somebody who is suffering from tinnitus, don't tell them to get over it. Don't just assume it's in their head and it's no big deal. Let's realize from this tragedy of the suicide of the Texas Roadhouse founder that it can have profound impacts on people's quality of life and their life indeed. I spoke last year with Jason Lewis, who is an Army veteran and has started a group addressing tinnitus. I think you're going to find this interesting. We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today Jason Lewis. Jason is the director of VetsWithTinnitus.org. He's an Army veteran, and we're going to focus on this issue of tinnitus. Jason, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thanks, Jim. Glad to be here.
And we often hear these stories, and I think it's good for other veterans to hear it too, Jason, that, you know, you get out of the service where everything was so structured, but now all of a sudden you're not only dealing with, you know, maybe a growing family, changing the business model every couple of years, but you're also working your way through whatever disabilities that may exist because of your service. So talk a little bit about that last piece.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, when I got out, I'm just glad to be out. You know, I'm glad I've got all my toes and fingers or whatever. You know, I know guys are listening right now who came out in a lot worse condition with a lot of disabilities, you know, traumatic brain injury, loss of limbs, and a lot worse PTSD. So, you know, I had my piece of that, and I, whatever degree it was that I have to deal with that. And, yeah, I mean, coming back into the family life and, you know, having to raise children, you know, and concurrently you're dealing with what you did, what you saw over those, you know, whatever the 5-year period that I was deploying and training. And you know, at first up, it can be, you know, I didn't feel comfortable without a firearm for several years. So I had a concealed carry permit, and I, you know, everywhere I went, I was armed, and I just didn't have that level of security just being in my own country. So, you know, you carry that, and, you know, but I really do feel the VA system, you know, it does have problems, but it is a good one. It's full of, you know, really well-intentioned and competent people. And so, you know, I've utilized those services, and I got counseling when I was first out for my PTSD. And so then later on, you know, a lot of the, you know, as PTSD started to, fade, then a lot of them, as I'm getting older, you know, I turned 46 this year, so, you know, a lot of the physical aspects to the deployment and the training and the 13 years in the military, you know, are starting to take their toll on me. And of course, you know, our issue today is tinnitus, and that's one I would not have seen coming or 4 years ago.
Yeah, let's start there, because I think, again, why don't we explain to people what, you know, I think most folks coming out of the military know what tinnitus is, but why don't you talk to our listeners, what is tinnitus?
Right. So it's also known as tinnitus, and so you can call it tinnitus, but it is it's a condition that even 10, 15 years ago was still considered a neuromental issue. So that's something that's going on psychologically, this ringing, constant ringing. It could be constant roaring. It could be a whomping sound. But the problem is it's a constant sound in your ear. And for some, you know, it can vary in degrees. It can be very debilitating. So it is a physical issue, so that it occurs when you have hearing loss. So in the military, a lot of times that happens when we're exposed to very loud sounds and whatever. I mean, that however that is, you're on a flight deck, or if you're in combat, or if you're in a training situation and you're not wearing hearing protection, and that happens enough time, over time your inner ear is balanced to a degree that if it's upset like that, it will, and I'm not too good in the nuts and bolts of it, but that it will go, if that inner ear part has been damaged, your body will compensate so that it will run a frequency. And that is tinnitus itself. It is that constant frequency or sound that your brain is generating.
Yeah, it's really an interesting phenomena that it's taken a long time for researchers to figure out. That it's a physical thing. It's not a you're not nuts. You're not crazy. You're not the only one hearing this. It's real, and it can be for different people. All kinds of different sounds. It may be sound like water. It may be sound like buzzing. It may sound like, you know, sort of insects. It's a just mm-hmm. a constant. And then it will come and go, but you know, a constant frequency pitch. Was it your experience, Jason, that the quieter things got, the more the buzzing it seemed to increase?
Yeah, that's correct. You're right. It modulates. You know, it's not like it's the same pitch, the same intrusion into your life every moment of the day. It modulates. And that's kind of one of the things I try to point out to people who I talk to and struggle with tonight, is that, you know, it's not always, you know, you know, people tend to get focused on when it's really bad. And that time tends to be when you are in a quiet room, usually when you're trying to go to sleep at night. You know, a lot of people, including myself, will use background noise, whether a fan or whether, you know, I have a Spotify account and I use, you know, I'll hit the nature sound, and that'll be my sleep at this.
And that sort of thing just helps you get through the night. It doesn't cure it. It doesn't remove it. It just makes it so that your brain isn't firing and you can fall asleep. Isn't that right?
That's right. A lot of the battle with tinnitus is, and I'm not in the camp that says that there is a cure. Of course, I would be hopeful there will be a cure one day, but you know, as it is right now, it's just not on the horizon. So a lot of, you know, and they say about 50 million people in the United States are suffering tinnitus. And we have a lot of big names like, William Shatner, Captain Kirk has been very vocal about it. Huey Lewis, Chris Martin from Coldplay. So there's a lot of people, a lot of entertainers, a lot of rockers that are coming on board and talking about their struggle with tinnitus. And you know, one of the more practical ways is to get a hearing device, and that can help. But for the most part, I mean, those got to come out at night. And so having some kind of background sound is a great way to just get your mind focused on something else.
Well, let me back up, because you said it, and I want to make sure people think about this. 50 million people suffer from tinnitus. Now, they're not all veterans. It's all kinds of different folks who have this condition. But about 9% of veterans have tinnitus, and about 5% have hearing loss. So there's more veterans with tinnitus than with noticeable, you know, actionable hearing loss. So it's a big population, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's approximately 1.7 million. It's the highest disability claim. It's the disability that gets is the most claimed among veterans, and then hearing loss is a close second. And so also tinnitus often pairs with other disabilities, and particularly PTSD, as well as traumatic brain injury. So you can imagine, you know, if you have traumatic brain injury. And then on top of that, added to that is the discomfort and anxiety of tinnitus. That's becoming a whole population of veterans that really there's not been a classification for that. And that is the veterans, the doctors I've talked to and the Veterans Administration are working on audiology issues are starting to recognize that it's not just tinnitus in and of itself that you say, okay, now I'm diagnosing you with tinnitus and here's your percentage disability and walk away. Now the they're starting to institute a pairing of with, like ongoing mental health issues so that you're going to get a counselor just like, as much as you're going to get an audiologist, that's going to be able to help you with the mental distress of tinnitus.
It really goes to a quality of life issue, doesn't it? If you have this constant ringing in your ears or ringing when you don't want it, like trying to sleep. Talk a little bit about the impact on quality of life.
Yeah. So again, like I said at the beginning, I don't want to compare tinnitus to somebody who has, traumatic brain injury or somebody who has cancer or somebody who has, these are all, these are much more serious issues and that kill you. These are fights for life kind of issues. But tinnitus is a lot like chronic illness, and it's been actually equated to chronic illness in a study that came out last year in Sweden. And so they really liken tinnitus to this, it's the chronicness. It's the, I wake up with this every day. I go to sleep with this every day. How am I mentally going to deal with that? And a lot of people, they found higher rates of suicide across the board, men and women, veterans and non-veterans, with people who have severe tinnitus. And it was equal to the population of those who suffer with chronic pain. So that, not everybody's going to commit suicide. It's actually a small percentage. But that's kind of a bubbling of what, something a lot more problematic, in the population. That if you're not necessarily going to commit suicide, your quality of life is not going to be as good as it should be.
You've mentioned a couple of times that VA will make a determination based on the veteran's statement of tinnitus and rate them, give them a disability rating of 10%. And as I understand it, that's 10%, whether it's one ear or both ears. In to put that in context, and we're talking to Jason Lewis, who's the director of VetsWithTinnitus.org. Jason, a 10% rating gets you, roughly $150 a month for this particular disability. Nobody's getting richer or changing their lifestyle on a 10% rating, are they?
No. I mean, and I have a 60% rating, so I've got, I've got a menu of issues that I've got. And tinnitus, I am rated for tinnitus. Now, I have a 10% rating, so that's actually pretty difficult. You have to have a pretty, bad level of tinnitus to get even a 10%. Most veterans, even though it's the most common disability claim, will get a 0% rating, which is good because that at least gets them in the system as, and then when that gets worse. So it's and there's nothing on the horizon that says that, that the VA is going to pay for more severe tinnitus. The only way they pay for is if you have hearing loss, or you have like disfigurement to your ears and damage to your eardrum. That's, from my understanding, that's the only compensation where you're going to go above 10%.
Well, as you mentioned, though, the importance of getting even a 0% rating, certainly 10%, which is the maximum for tinnitus, while it's not a great deal of compensation, it's something that recognizes it. But it also might give you access, or will give you access, to other VA healthcare, like the mental health that you were talking about.
Yeah, and that's where I think they're starting to wake up. I mean, if you go to my website, you can see this old interview with Barbara Walters and Barbara Streisand. And Barbara Walters, this is 85, and she's almost hesitant to even mention the ringing in Barbara Streisand. Of course, she was a famous entertainer in the 70s and 80s. And she even says, I don't want to call you kooky. And so that's only, 25 years ago, or 25, 35 years ago, where you know, people aren't even comfortable talking about tinnitus because it's like talking about a population of people that are seeing ghosts or hearing ghosts that nobody else can see. So there is a long way that the veteran has to come. And, you know, to their credit, they really are closing that gap quickly. And especially with the realization that you cannot just diagnose a veteran with tinnitus and just send them away with $150 in their pocket every month. That tinnitus, it, you know, especially in the early stages of tinnitus, like the first 1 to 6 months, is where somebody really struggles with it mentally. You know, if tinnitus is not a neurological mental issue starting out, it becomes one. Because you've got to learn the day-by-day tools to cope with this constant ringing or roaring or whatever you're hearing in your ear.
And that coping mechanism is something that you as the veteran have to come away and understand. But it probably affects the rest of the family, doesn't it?
It absolutely affects the rest of the family. And this is one of the reasons I'm so passionate about the issue is because, you know, if I have a bad tinnitus day, I mean, that makes me irritable. I'm shorter with my wife. I'm shorter with my children. You know, if I had had the tools early on, now I'm in my about a 4 year journey with my tinnitus. That I really started to dial in. It became a problem for me early on. You know, it would actually affect my temper, and so it would have been great to have some tools, and even to know that hey, this is going to make you an irritable person, and you need to figure out ways. That's not going to go, you know, that's not going to come on your family.
You have started, and this is a lot of veterans fortunately think about their fellow brothers and sisters when they get out after a while and say, hey, what can I do to help? And you've started veteranswithtinnitus.org and have sort of three goals for the organization. Tell us what those are.
Yeah, so I mean, I really believe we need a greater support network. You know, people just need to talk about tinnitus, and that's sometimes the most difficult thing is to recognize that, hey, this ringing is driving me nuts.
We want to encourage you to, again, think about the impact that tinnitus might have, certainly in light of this recent suicide of this very successful restaurateur, Kent Taylor of Texas Roadhouse. Many of us have had a steak there and enjoyed it, so it's kind of something that drives you home that it happened to him. And certainly go to veteranswithtinnitus.org, see some of the tools and coping mechanisms they put out. Don't let this get to you or a loved one so that the only thing they're thinking about is the way to stop this is through suicide.
Military veterans touch everyone's life. I'm guessing right now you're thinking of a veteran, a close friend, relative. Maybe it's you. Even the toughest of us sometimes need help, but don't know where to turn for support. You don't need special training to help a veteran in your life. We can all help someone going through a difficult time. Learn how you can be there for veterans. Visit veteranscrisisline.net. Veteranscrisisline.net. A message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
After the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk with a representative of the Buffalo Naval and Military Museum, or Park, with a real interesting story that ties back to the USS Sullivan. And if you're of a certain vintage, you know who the Fighting Sullivans are. If you were in the Navy, you absolutely know who the Five Brother Sullivans are. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. But before we get there, we want to thank some of our additional sponsors that make this possible for us to come to you all over the country. And that includes the Vietnam Veterans of America Charles S. Kettles Chapter, 310 in Ann Arbor, Michigan, the VFW Post 423, and the American Legion Post 46 in Ann Arbor. We also want to thank the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System, which is a sponsor of this show, and is now actually officially the Charles S. Kettles Center. I don't know that they've actually had their open house renaming it yet, but that Medal of Honor recipient is being recognized, and it's a great honor for his family in the Ann Arbor area.
Are you a veteran or a military spouse interested in starting or growing an existing business? Then you want to connect with VetBiz Central, Michigan's only veteran business resource center, providing free one-on-one business counseling services, including research plans and preparing veterans to be lender ready. If you're in business, VetBiz Central offers comprehensive strategic marketing strategies to help you connect to corporations. They are one of 20 centers nationwide devoted to veteran business development through the U.S. Small Business Administration Office of Veteran Business Development. Vets helping vets. Visit their website at VetBizCentral.org or call 810-767-VETS.
Before we get started with our interview with the Buffalo and Erie County Naval and Military Park, we want to bring a little Medal of Honor segment that recognizes one of our naval heroes.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Navy Captain John Cromwell gave his life to preserve the security of his mission. Cromwell was aboard the USS Sculpin during the 9th War Patrol of that vessel in enemy-controlled waters off Truk Island. Undertaking this patrol prior to the launching of our first large-scale offensive in the Pacific, Captain Cromwell possessed secret intelligence information of our submarine strategy and tactics, scheduled fleet movements, and specific attack plans. Constantly vigilant and precise in carrying out his secret orders, he moved his undersea flotilla forward despite savage opposition and established a line of submarines to southeastward of the main Japanese stronghold at Truk. Cool and undaunted as the submarine rocked and battered by Japanese depth charges, sustained terrific battle damage and sank to an excessive depth, he authorized the Sculpin to surface and engage the enemy in a gunfight, thereby providing an opportunity for the crew to abandon ship. Determined to sacrifice himself rather than risk capture and subsequent danger of revealing plans under Japanese torture or use of drugs, Cromwell stoically remained aboard the mortally wounded vessel as she plunged to her death. The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today John Branning with the Buffalo and Erie County Naval and Military Park. John, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, we read some more about what the Buffalo and Erie County Naval and Military Park is and some of the challenges it's facing as a result of sort of a year of COVID, where maybe not as many visitors and maybe not as many admission tickets sold and that sort of thing. And we're going to talk also about some of the ships that are sitting there, in particular the USS the Sullivans, which has a very interesting history, and some help it needs at the moment. So this is a call to the nation to help not only the Buffalo and Erie County Naval and Military Park, but also help restore the USS the Sullivans, because it really is worth saving. John, tell us, you've been here at the park for about 16 years. Tell us about the Naval and Military Park.
Okay, the park was established in 1977. The park didn't open to the public until 1979, July 4th. We have four vessels here, three in the water and one on land. We are the largest naval and military park in inland waters in the nation, and as far as I know, around the world. Actually, it's kind of funny. I always say, you know, I'm like the executive officer of my own fleet here, you know, and it's nothing like being stationed on three vessels that never get underway anymore. So it's not so bad. But we have the USS Little Rock, which is a guided missile cruiser, CLG-4. She was first built in 1944 and commissioned literally 3 months before the end of World War II. She was taken out of service in 49 and then modified with a missile system from 57 to 60. And then she served from 1960 until 1976, when she was finally decommissioned. And then she was towed here. The Sullivans, which is a National Historic Landmark. Most everybody knows the story of the five Sullivan brothers who died on board their vessel, the USS Juno, in 1942. This ship was originally going to be called the Putnam, but the unprecedented loss of the five Sullivan brothers really pushed FDR to name a ship after the five brothers that was already being built. So this was the first ship that was named for multiple people. it's funny because I always have like an 8-year-old or school teacher who teaches like elementary school kids, and she says, well, the sign isn't right. It should be the Sullivans with an apostrophe S. No, it's not possessive, it's plural. So, you know, that's just one of those things. Then our third vessel that's in the water is the USS Croker, which is a Gato-class submarine that sank 11 Japanese vessels, World War II. And then she was taken out of service, modified, brought back into service, and she served until 1968. And then our last vessel, which is a PT boat that's up on a cradle, actually on land, is made of mahogany, so putting her in the water is just not – that's not going to happen. But she served from 68 to 72 in Vietnam. And when she was decommissioned in 79, she was brought here. And then we have all sorts of other static displays as well, because we are a naval and military park.
Yeah, and this is a sort of a unique thing to have. First off, Buffalo's on the water, so you can actually have this somewhere like this. And but why is it important for the county, the city, the region, to have such an extensive naval and military park?
Well, one of our primary jobs here is to educate. And Buffalo, although, how do I put this? Buffalo has supported the military almost since there was a military. Actually, there's steel that was refined here in Buffalo that is on board Little Rock, and we have Worthington pumps. Even some of the china that we have that served the officers and crew on the Little Rock was made here at Buffalo China. So the not just to educate the military public, which we do have quite a huge veteran presence here, but it's to educate the future veterans or just students who have a curiosity about the military. And this was actually the first place. I'm not originally from Buffalo. I'm a Savannah boy. But this was the first place I ever had someone thank me for my service. Buffalo is a very deeply patriotic town. And, you know, I'm used to Norfolk and San Diego and Jacksonville and, you know, where dogs and sailors are supposed to stay off the grass. But here, people appreciate a person's military service very, very keenly.
Well, and it's I'm sure, a regional draw, and probably even draws from our friends in Canada when they used to be able to come over.
Absolutely.
To the United States pre-COVID. But kind of tell us what sort of visitation you would have had pre-COVID and sort of what the last years looked like.
On average, yeah, 2020 notwithstanding, but on average, we accommodate up to 80,000 visitors a year. We have averaged 5 years in a row before 2020. Someone from every state in the union has visited here because we track it. And then also people from over 100 countries. So it, you know, we, all the different organizations and things here in Western New York, we all help each other out in our own way. We have, you know, of course, Niagara Falls. And so what else is there to see besides Niagara Falls on this side of the line? And, well, let's go downtown to see, you know, see what Buffalo has. And you can't miss these vessels anywhere. And so it really draws a huge population down here. And the other thing is one of the primary money makers for almost every naval park around the United States is Boy and Girl Scout encampments. We actually accommodate, generally, again, pre-COVID, 250 kids on normally Friday and then Saturday nights. And so that gives them an opportunity to actually sleep in a Navy rack and then eat out of the galley. And those
kids are sized for those racks. The problem we had is you and I were a little too big for those racks.
Well, what's funny is because being the superintendent here, one of the, you know, I changed light bulbs, you know, that kind of thing. Sometimes it's easier instead of carrying a ladder around I'll sit there and climb up into a bunk on the third rung and change the light. And it's like, okay, I used to be able to get out of this with no problem. That was a long time ago.
I really didn't realize that Boy and Girl Scout encampments were such a big deal. But once you say it out loud, you go, what a great opportunity for these kids.
Those Navy folks out there know what a destroyer's nickname is. It's a tin can. You know, she was not built to stand up and slug it out with a battleship. You know, her armor was her speed, maneuverability, and her agility, hit and run, that kind of thing. So she wasn't built to last as long as she has in the environment in which she's in. And so it takes a lot of work, a lot of work, above and below the waterline.
So we'd like to hope that our veteran radio listeners, as they think about these naval ships that are part of the museum and the repair work that they need and the funding that they need, and we're talking to John Branning, who's the superintendent of ships at the Buffalo and Erie County Naval and Military Park, that there's folks out there, John, who might say, you know what, dad or granddad served in the Navy. You know, I'd like to contribute some dollars to help this keep this going, because I see the importance of it. How do they help support your mission at the Naval and Military Park, John?
Well, any monetary donation that someone wants to send to us, it can be mailed to us. Our address is very simple. It's 1 Naval Park Cove, Buffalo, New York, 14202. Sorry about that. It's going to give you my own address. You can click online. There's a donation tab on the website, and you can earmark your donation to a specific vessel, because again, we do have 4 of them, and they do all require work. Depends on the era that you're interested in. So, I mean, we have former Vietnam veterans who want to just give to the PT boat, because, hey, I remember seeing them going up the Mekong Delta, you know, that kind of thing. So that is entirely possible as well.
Because, we'd certainly want to encourage folks to go to the website, which is buffalonavalpark.org, and poke around, look at it, get interested in it, look at some of the YouTube videos, see some of the challenges that maintaining a fleet of this size really takes. And maybe they can help out a little bit and keep some of this going on for another 16 years, as long as you've been there. But Jen, I know you also served in the Navy for 22 years and retired out. Tell us how a nice kid from, I think you said, South Carolina, ended up in the Navy and
Savannah,
and served for 22 years.
Yeah, it's not that much to tell. It's I was inspired to join the Navy, believe it or not. At 13 years old, I wanted to join. My dad was a World War II battleship sailor. He served on 4 different battleships during the war. He was a quartermaster and was part of the Admiral's staff, Admiral Lee. And he was actually on board the Missouri when the Japanese surrendered. And that being one thing, but although like most World War II veterans didn't feel like they were doing anything above and beyond what their neighbors were doing. So, you know, he rarely talked about his service during the war. But I watched this movie. You see it every once in a while on Turner Classic Movies sometimes, is They Were Expendable. Story of PT boat crews in the Pacific. And I saw, you know, it has John Wayne and A-rated actors at the time. And I wasn't interested in the leadership so much. I was more interested in this guy, Ward Bond character, who was a little bit different than the officers, and yet he was still higher ranked than the junior guys. He was a chief petty officer. His job was to take care of his troops and to ensure that his command would function properly, and was kind of the backbone, the deck plate leadership, as we call it in the Navy. And I kind of fell in love with that character, and that kept, I kept that in the back of my mind. And then when I turned 17, I got my dad to sign the paperwork for me to join. And he was quite willing to sign because I wasn't all that good of a kid. And so, you know, that was basically it. From there, I served on four different aircraft carriers throughout my career, and did two tours in Spain, just was all over the Mediterranean and the European theater of operations. And then on top of that, my oldest daughter joined. So our services actually overlap by a month. So, you know, when you serve with your kids, it's time to move on. You know, people are already calling me granddad. So, and then honestly, when my youngest, well, my son, my youngest came of age, he decided he wanted to do his time too. And so he did his 4 years. He found out really quick that a full 20-year career was not for him. And but that's fine. He served his country admirably for 4 years and day for day. And I'm exceedingly proud of both of them.
Well, and very few people serve as long as you did and retire out. And but they, whoever they are, they learn so much by that service. I'm sure your son and everybody I've known have been in for, you know, a four-year tour kind of thing, is a totally different person when they went in and when they came out. And the importance of the family service can't be overstated, the value of that to the country. And we're back to the Sullivans, right? We're back to how a family serves and how a family sacrifices.
Absolutely.
To make our country free. And again, really appreciate the Branning family for its long line of service, John. Thanks.
Appreciate that. Like they say, you know, there's stickers you see all the time around military bases or Navy bases, especially. Navy wife is the toughest job in the Navy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, it's a family affair. It really is. We all recognize that, and I'm sure you bring that same sort of family passion and motivation to your job as superintendent of ships at the Buffalo and Erie County Naval and Military Park. Veteran Radio listeners, go to the website, help out if you can. If you're planning a trip that takes you into the north reaches of New York, stop in, see folks, be part of that 80,000 that visit every year. You'll have your vaccines. It'll be safe as can be, and we really want to encourage people to get back out and do those sorts of things.
We will be opening to the public May 1st, and we're due to COVID, we're still restricted on how much of the ships we can open and how deep people can go into them. But trust me, it'd be well worth the time you spend here.
Well, we want to thank you for taking some time today to talk to the Veteran Radio listeners. Give us again the website that they can go to.
It's www.buffalonavalpark.org.
All around the country, there are these interesting military museums, parks, locations, and you ought to support your local one, and you ought to support the national ones as well. So we're glad to talk to you about the needs at the Buffalo Naval Park and the Fighting Sullivans. So you might want to also look at, and you can find this on YouTube, it's free on YouTube, the 1944 movie called The Fighting Sullivans. It tells the story of five Irish-American Sullivan brothers who grew up in Iowa during the Great Depression. It's sort of a family brotherhood story on its way to the five brothers enlisting in the Navy, being on the USS Juno in the Pacific. They're involved in a battle off the Solomon Islands, and three of the brothers die on the Juno, and two others die the following day in lifeboats. It's kind of a touching story, and as I say, it's from the 1940s. You'll kind of get a kick out of how things are portrayed. Another exciting thing to tell our Veteran Radio listeners, and if you've made it to the end here, we're glad to have you sticking around. You can always learn more by going to veteransradio.net, or keep an eye on us on what we're doing on Facebook, and we have something exciting going on. It's right there on the homepage at veteransradio.net. Some of you may recall the giveaway jackets we've done in the past with one of our sponsors, U.S. Wings. These are incredible jackets. U.S. Wings has agreed to continue to sponsor giveaway jackets. These are going to be the Top Gun Maverick CWU-45P recreation. They're top quality. The CWU was first introduced in the early 1970s and eventually replacing the venerable MA-1 jacket. It's still used in active duty. It's really kind of an iconic military jacket. It's 100% water repellent nylon outer shell. And if you go to uswings.com, you can order some of their really special leather jackets as well. But go to veteransradio.net and sign up for our giveaway for this particular Top Gun kind of jacket that U.S. Wings produces. I think you're going to find it amazing. We're glad to have them back as a sponsor. And let me come to a conclusion here, because we've talked a lot about different issues. I want to encourage folks again to, if you're in crisis, you know somebody who might be in crisis, go to veteranscrisisline.net or call 800-273-8255. We should not let folks slip through the cracks. We should not let them have a bad day that ends up ruining their life. We've talked about the help that you can get if you have tinnitus, and we've given you some resources, and VA wants to help you if this is negatively impacting your life. So don't try to go it alone. Get some help. These are tough things to kind of withstand by yourself. And we mentioned the movie on YouTube, The Fighting Sullivans. We've had the opportunity during some of COVID to watch some of those old 1940 World War II movies. They're really kind of interesting to watch with today's eye so many years later. So I'd encourage you to at least think about that as well. You'll find it entertaining, and you also might learn a few things along the line. Remembering, though, that Hollywood is in the business of both entertainment and at times propaganda. So you kind of have to look at it and read it accordingly. And again, support your local museums, support your local organizations that are trying to keep alive history. We all know we don't get taught enough history in school, and as a result, I think it's to our detriment many times. And certainly our younger kids, whether they be your kids or grandkids or nieces or nephews, are not getting the same sort of educational information that maybe you got growing up, and taking them to a museum or watching them sit down and watching an old movie with them gives you a chance to talk about some of the values, whether they be family values or patriotic values, that are on display in some of those old movies that we just don't talk much about anymore. And you'll get that if you go watch The Fighting Sullivans on YouTube. As I say, that one's free, and we thought we'd bring it to you. You might want to enjoy it. We really appreciate the opportunity to be with you every week on Veterans Radio to bring you first-class information about what's happening for veterans, what's happening in the VA. Things like, hey, we're expanding our COVID vaccine availability to all veterans, to spouses of deceased veterans, and to caregivers of veterans. That's a really big deal. So go to va.gov and check that out, and make sure that you find an opportunity to get out and get the coronavirus vaccine to protect yourself and to protect your loved ones. I know Dale got his at the VA in Ann Arbor, and I got mine through a private hospital that was doing them locally. So we're both vaccinated, and but still being careful. You mask up, you wash your hands, you do all those things the CDC and the VA is reminding veterans to do, because it just makes sense, and we need to be protecting each other in that regards. So we'll be back again next week with more information, more interesting stories. I know Dale's got a couple that he's working on now. And as always, we do a veterans benefits discussion every month. So if you have questions about benefits or disability benefits, dial in, send in an email, and let's talk to the experts and try to get your questions answered. So again, thanks for being with VeteransRadio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
This is Dale Thronberry from Veterans Radio with an important announcement for you, our loyal listeners. In partnership with U.S. Wings, we are bringing back our monthly flight jacket giveaway. Beginning right now, you can win a Top Gun Maverick flight jacket. This is U.S. Wings' recreation of the exact CWU jacket worn in the upcoming Top Gun 2 Maverick movie. It is made from military-grade satin nylon. The patches on the jacket are authentic military patches supplied to Paramount Pictures for the Top Gun movie. This jacket could be yours. All you have to do is register to win. Go to veteransradio.net, click on the flight jacket, and register to be in the drawing to win this month's Top Gun flight jacket. The winner will be announced on our monthly benefits program, which is the last program of each month. Don't miss out on your chance to win this incredible U.S. Wings Top Gun flight jacket. Go to veteransradio.net and register now.